So we've got Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14, and it's from the New International Version. Blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. This is the word of the Lord.
And this reading is from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Well, thank you to Susie and to Joe for those readings. Let's just pray for John as he comes to speak. Father, we ask for your blessing on John, and we ask that you would inspire his words and inspire our hearts too as we seek to hear you today, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Just get myself a little organised. Some would say I'm not, but never mind. Thank you to the worship team, Mark and Zoe, Susie, and I've forgotten the other name, but thank you anyway. And to our readers, very many thanks for that wonderful blessing. So we have a harvest service. And in preparation for speaking to you today, I took a little trip down memory lane. I don't know how many of you ever do that, but I love thinking about things that have happened in my past. And after my father, and obviously we as a family, had come out of the Brethren, there was a few intervening years before I went back into it in my early teens. And we went to an evangelical church in North Station Road in Colchester. Used to be called the Railway Mission. It later became the Emmanuel Evangelical Church, and it's now the Mencap Centre. So some of you may be actually quite familiar with that. And for them, harvest was quite a major event, a bit like Christmas or Easter. And at the front of the church, they had a very long, elongated pulpit. And along the front there, trestle tables were put out, and white tablecloths and sheets were laid across them. And an absolute abundance of harvest produce and things was put there. And I remember specifically some of the things that were there. Right in the centre was a big corn dolly that somebody had made. There was even a piece of coal on a plate. A glass of water was placed there. There was every vegetable you could even think of, and probably many you couldn't. Anything you could grow, people brought. And the vast majority of it was actually stuff that people had grown in their own gardens and brought along. A little bit different today, because we don't tend to have quite so many people do that. But everything you could think of was there. And then, of course, people brought tins of stuff. The children from the Sunday school used to bring stuff as well. And actually, I remember the pastor there, sometimes he'd do something a little bit novel, and he'd ask the children while he was speaking to work out how many different things were on the table. And I seem to remember somebody got to about 75 different things that were on the harvest table. An absolute picture of the abundance of food and blessings that we have that we're able to enjoy today. Great thing about harvest is that it's a great reminder of God's goodness to us, for without him, none of this would be possible. And I think we live in a day and age where, quite frankly, we take for granted so much that we have. None of us know hunger, really, do we? We have warm homes to live in. We have an abundance of things. We have jobs that we can do, that we enjoy, and bring in revenue, that we can buy almost anything we want. There's almost nothing we can't buy. But we saw a group of folk earlier on who don't have that privilege. And by the way, I've worked with the soup kitchen in Colchester, and I recognised about three or four faces there. In actual fact, one of them many, many years ago used to work for me. So I know them quite well, and they don't have the privileges that we have. But it reminds us, when we think about harvest, of all that God has given and supplied. You know, so often we complain about the weather. I think the British, we've almost got a genius for it. Can I use that word? Genius for complaining about weather. You know, it's too rainy, or it's too cold, or we don't like the wind, or it's too hot maybe. Oh, and the dark nights are coming, the shortened days. Early mornings, or we have to get up in the dark, not very nice. And people complain and moan about it. But you know, all of these things are necessary, because without the various different seasons that we heard about in one of our readings there, harvest wouldn't be possible. There are crops that thrive with wet and with wind and with the colder weather. Things like sprouts, for example, need to have the ground frost. We don't like frost much, do we? We couldn't have, whether you like sprouts, so lots of people say sprouts are not very nice. Actually, I quite like them as part of a Christmas dinner. But they wouldn't be possible without frost. And so I think we need to guard our hearts sometimes when we complain about weather, realising that all of it, without exception, is given by God. In Genesis 8 and verse 22, and Ian read part of that to us, and by the way, I didn't know he was going to read that this morning when he first came out with that in Autumn. It's amazing, isn't it, how he picked the same scriptures. But it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. Think about that next time you moan about the cold. Winter and summer, and the other seasons as well, of course. Day and night shall not cease. God has given that as an absolute promise. But he's given us other promises as well. The other day I was at a house that I own, one of the properties I own, that's undergoing a refurbishment. And I had to meet with a contractor there, and we're up in the bedroom looking at something and discussing something. And I noticed out the window to the far left was a lovely rainbow. Amazing colours in that rainbow, a kaleidoscope of different colours. And of course the rainbow, if you look at scripture, is the promise from God that not only will he give us rain that we need, but never again will he flood the earth, as in the days of Noah. And rain, by the way, in scripture, is a sign of God's blessing. Did you know that? Next time it rains and it's pouring and you have to put the umbrella up, you don't like the rain, remember, it's a sign of God's blessing. But God's plan is that man would work the earth, that he would labour. Now, sometimes we moan about work, don't we? But you know, work is a godly thing. God honours work. It's a godly thing. It's something that he wants us to do. Because we have to work and till the soil in order to produce a harvest. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8 that was read to us says, "The Lord will bless what you put your hand to." The Lord will bless what you put your hand to. So your chosen career, whatever that might be, if you're a banker, a school teacher, a vicar, if you work running a property business like I do, whatever you're doing, God will bless what you put your hand to. But obviously it has to be done with integrity. It has to be done with a right heart. There should be diligence. And I believe Christians, by the way, should be able to do a better job than anybody. And whilst God has given, has created everything that we have, he's given man control over everything in the earth. It says in the scripture, he's given man dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:26 says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness." So we have a likeness with God. We have something of God's character within us. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Well, we have dominion over those. I don't know about you, I quite like eating fish. Very, very good for you, apparently. "Over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth." All of this was clearly in God's creation plan. And it should cause us to actually think about how we act on the earth, shouldn't it? You know, we need to be responsible. We're living in a day and age where we're using up the resources in the world extremely rapidly. A lot of talk about climate change. Now, I know we have a mixture of opinions on that. I've got some opinions about that. But I think we do need to think very carefully about our actions in light of all that God has given to us as a blessing. But we need to be careful that we're responsible not to abuse what God has given us. In Deuteronomy 28, reading it in sort of wider context, we see that God's people Israel were promised special blessing on everything, but it had a condition. And the condition was that they obeyed God and did according to his commands. The blessings weren't just going to come anyway. They had to fulfill their part of the bargain, if you like, and obey God in what they did in order to receive those blessings. And this was written to Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. Very soon after this, they entered the promised land. This was just prior to the death of Moses. And Moses, by the way, lived to be 120 years old. Quite something, isn't it? Over in Alden, we've got a lady who's 105, and we think that's amazing that she's got to 105, but Moses made 120, and this was written about 1400 BC. And there's quite a list of blessings in Deuteronomy 28 that God lists there. And I don't know, as it was read, whether you thought about those or even counted them. You might like to do a little exercise on that when you get home, or even while I'm speaking, if you like, and look at how many different blessings he lists. I managed to work out 21. You might find less or more of those, but 21 different individual blessings. You know, I'll bless you when you come in, and I'll bless you when you go out. I'll bless you in the field. I'll bless you in the city. God promises to bless us in our lives as well, in all the various aspects of it, just as he promised it to them. And there are some that would probably say, well, hang on a minute, John, this was written in the Old Testament under law specifically to a set of people. Does it really apply to us now? Is it relevant for us living today? And I would want to challenge that view and say that if God promised his people, Israel, great blessing if they lived according to the law, given that today we're living under grace, if we will take the trouble and be conscious of how we live and live according to God's commands, live a life that is God-pleasing, how much more would he want to bless us? And I believe it's more so, if anything. And I think we can definitely look at the promises there and the blessings there that are promised in Deuteronomy 28 and say, Lord, I receive them. I receive it that I'll be blessed when I go into the town, into the city, out into the field. I'll be blessed in my home. I'll be blessed with my family and my career. I'll be blessed with my neighbours and in the relationships I have. And if we want to know God's richest blessing, then we need to live lives that are pleasing to him. The New Testament talks about living a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that specifically to, I think it was the Corinthian church actually, to live a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we think about all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, God sent him into the world to die for our sin, that we might be saved, that we might know salvation and have relationship with him. When we think about all of that, why would we not want to live a life that's pleasing to God? Why would we not want to live a life that's morally upright? A life that has integrity and decency and honesty. A life that considers and cares and loves our neighbours. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 10 that was kindly read to us. It says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. I don't know whether many of you know any farmers at all. One of the things I do, I'm a director on a landlords association, Eastern Landlords Association. And our chairman is also a farmer. And I talk to him sometimes about his farming and what he does. He's always interested to tell me what's going on and what he's recently planted. But he would tell you, if he wants to get a bumper harvest, he has to sow lots of seed. It's obvious, isn't it? What you don't sow, you can't reap. And it's confirmed here in the scriptures. But it's also true that we reap what we sow. If you plant wheat seed, what will grow, hopefully? Might have some weeds amongst it, some chaff you have to sort out. But it'll grow wheat. If you plant barley seed, what will you reap? You will reap barley. And that's true in our lives. And whether you know it or not, every day you live, you sow seed. Every day you live, your actions, your thoughts, your intents, the things that you say, the things that you do, sow. Let us be careful what we sow, that we don't sow weeds, but rather we sow that which is good, because it will be pleasing to God, but also we will reap it as a harvest. The Bible teaches us that whatsoever a man will sow, that will he also reap. In Malachi 3, we're told to bring the tithes into the storehouse. Now, again, I realise that's Old Testament teaching, although it's right at the end of the Old Testament. Flick forward a couple of pages and you're in the New Testament. But it talks there about tithing. Now, tithing was a command given to the people living under the law, that when the harvest was brought in, the first 10%, the best 10%, not just a bit of it, but the first 10% was given to the Lord in thanksgiving for the harvest. And it was a command that they did it. Now, of course, we're now living, as I said earlier, under grace. But I want to put this point to you. If under the law, people were required to give 10% and tithes, don't forget, because it talks about that as well in Malachi. Surely under grace, we should want to do at least that. Surely under grace, we should want to do at least that. And of course, there is the offering of our lives as well, and we need to think about that one. And it goes on in Malachi to say that we can actually test God in this. Now, I'm not aware of anywhere else in Scripture where God actually invites us to test him. But in this particular area, he says, test me in this. See if I'm not right. Go on, give it a go. See if it happens. And what he says is that if we'll be faithful in this area of giving, if we'll be faithful to bring the tithes and the offerings to the storehouse, this is the storehouse in that context, of course, not only will he bless us, but it says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that we will be unable to contain it. How many here, I wonder, would love to have so much blessing in their lives, you're almost unable to contain it? I wonder. I'll tell you what, I want that. Because, you know, when you have more blessing that you can contain, it's a bit like that glass of water. If I was to fill it to the top but keep pouring, what would happen to the water? It would come out over the sides, wouldn't it? And when we have so much going on in our lives that God is doing and blessing us, when we're full of his joy, when we're enjoying the relationship that we have with him, and it flows out of us, it flows out to people around us. And people are able to see something in our life that's different. They're able to see that Jesus has made a difference because of what he's done and because of the relationship that we have with him. Let's put God to the test on that. And let's see the windows of heaven open and the blessings poured out so great that we're unable to contain them. And they even affect those around us. Some of you here probably won't know, the Aldham folk will be more aware of this, but the property I live in over in Aldham is called The Harvest. Previous house I had, I called Harvest House, but it's a bungalow at Aldham, so I couldn't really use the same name. But Ian suggested that as part of my preach or talk, I might talk to you about why that is. In actual fact, my property business is called Harvest Property Investments, and one of my vehicles, I've even got a number plate that's J1, well obviously the J is for John, HVT, which is an abbreviation of Harvest, and I bought that number, thought that out specifically. And in thinking about why I did that, I could spend a lot of time talking about that, and I won't, because that would be talking probably a bit too much about me and what I've done in the past. But broadly speaking, I believe that the blessing I have in my life, all that I've been able to do, with God's help, of course, not on my own, if you like, has produced the harvest of what I have now and I am able to enjoy, for which I give God all the praise and the glory. But importantly to me, it isn't just about enjoying the things he's given me, you know, the home to live in and so on. It's actually about a harvest that from that I can make as well. Last year, about 18 months ago, we had the Christianity Explored course in my home for several of the Aldham folk. You would have been welcome to come if you wanted to as well. But we hosted that in my home. I've had various meetings, for example, the midweek Bible study meets from Aldham and so on. I'm always very open to hospitality and people coming in. Difficult at the moment, of course, with the restrictions, but under normal circumstances, it's something I love to do because I regard my home to be the Lord's home more than it is mine. But you know, there's a harvest I would love to see that would probably, or would, thrill me more than any other. And that would be the harvest of precious souls. Because, you know, the Bible teaches that there is a harvest field out there that is plentiful. But unfortunately, the laborers are few. And what is that harvest field? It's the harvest of people out there who as yet do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Saviour. The people that have not come into the relationship with God as we have. And they're the people we're called to reach. And who are those labourers? They're you and me. They're not just the clergy. They're not just the minister of the church down the road. They're not just the worship team. We all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. That great harvest needs to be brought in and harvested, and we have a part to play in it. And as we think about harvest and we think about the goodness of God, we think about everything he's given us and the absolute abundance of it, let's be mindful of people who do not have the privileges we have. Moreover, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour as we do. We have a responsibility to God, but to them too. Let's just pray briefly as I wrap up. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for harvest. Thank you for everything that you give us, every blessing of every day. Thank you that we can meet together, okay, under restrictions, I know at the moment, but nonetheless, we can meet together. But we have so much that others go without. We've seen the video today of Open Door. We've seen people there who, some of them have lived on the streets, had to sleep in the back of old cars and so on. I know of one young man in Cotswold at the moment who sleeps in a tent in somebody's garden at the moment. And as winter draws on, how difficult that will be. And Lord, we want to think about them whilst we thank you for the abundance of blessing you've poured out to us, but realise we have a responsibility to them too. So Lord, be with us and help us, guide us, give us opportunities to reach out to those people and share what we have with them. And be careful in so doing that we give you all the praise, all the glory and all the honour. For your name's sake we ask it. Amen.